Hi, this is Alan Nelson, your host for Rev Audio Magazine. Our guest today is Stan Toler, best-selling author and senior pastor of Trinity Church of the Nazarene in Oklahoma City. We're going to talk about raising money during tight times. My co-host for this series is my colleague, Patty Smith. How are you doing, Patty?
Great, Alan. Happy to be here again.
Well, I know as we serve churches through group, this is really challenging time as churches pull back, as people are giving less, just as they, you know, gas alone, let alone all the other stuff going on. We're going to talk to this expert in this area, and he's a pastor who knows a lot about it. So, Stan, welcome.
Well, thank you, Alan and Patty. I'm just more than delighted to be part of this great interview, and I love Rev Magazine. I have for years, and so it's my pleasure to be a part of this.
Hey, Stan, you could talk about 1,000 different things. I know you travel all over the country helping pastors in addition to being a pastor, but probably in this time in our culture, you know, as people are tightening their belts and all, there's not a more important topic for us to discuss. So can you give us just some ideas, some issues, when you are a pastor as well, when the offerings are down, when the budgets are already tight? What are some things pastors can do to help alleviate the stress?
Well, I think that's an excellent question, and there are several things that would come to my mind. I've obviously created numerous resources on the subject. Probably the most popular book I co-authored with Elmer Towns is called Developing a Giving Church, and it has a lot of information in it that I've worked with my whole ministerial career. But I think in practical terms, it's my view that the church always flourishes in difficult times. And I'm seeing that begin to happen right now at Trinity, where I've pastored for the last 12 years. We've actually had the greatest summer financially that I have ever experienced here at the church as far as income goes. But I think one of the best ways to help people in tough times is to get them to also catch the spirit of giving, is to spend some time training them on how to manage money. It's my view that workshops on money management, starting, say, a financial peace university. I know, Alan, we were both in Oklahoma City several years ago when the oil and agricultural bust occurred and people were wearing T-shirts that said, I bank with FDIC. And I can remember well, you know, watching people lose fortunes, for that matter, in those industries, and watch many of them grow and prosper because of training. And I remember we took the Larry Burkett principles at that time, at Christian Financial Concepts, Crown Ministries, it's now called, and began to work with people who were having financial reverses, who had mortgages that were in the trouble in trouble with the bank, foreclosures occurring, and just put some experts with them. And what we found is out of that, out of their poverty, grew some spiritual vitality and giving progress that never existed before with them.
Talk to us about what we can do on the fiscal side in terms of just budget, getting more for our money as a church.
I think that's one of those deals where a pastor should never go it alone. They should always ask key leaders to work with them and see what's happening in the marketplace and how businesses tighten their belt. One of the things that I've noticed during this recession is that church attendance has actually been up, which means more people are staying home, which, just a clue to the pastors, means they have a little more money to give if they're not spending it all on trips and vacations and, for that matter, gasoline right now, although we do have the cheapest gas in America here in Oklahoma today. Just wanted to brag for a moment, $3.44 a month ago. I never thought I'd brag about paying $3.44 because, you see, I've pastored long enough. My first pastorate when I was 17 years old, I remember driving my car to church and having to pay 19 cents a gallon for gas. So $3.44 doesn't seem like bragging rights.
It doesn't.
You know, I'm a mom. I have three kids. We go to Wednesday night, and then I'm going to serve on Saturday night, and I'm going to attend church on Sunday. And I'm looking at my gas tank. That's two tanks a week, and then I've got to feed and then tithe. And, I mean, something's going to give because my income isn't increasing, but my bills are. So, I mean, what advice do you have for families, for parents? I mean, I know that leadership in the church and roping in those key influencers, that's going to be a key to shape how you're going to save money. But I want to tithe. I want to give my first fruits to God, but I'm going, I don't have anything left.
I hear you, and I'm convinced that we have to teach some principles that are very, very important to us, Patty. One, we have to teach people that giving is rooted in the heart and nature of God, and that, secondly, stewardship is discipleship. But I believe, thirdly, stewardship must be caught and taught. And I think it's interesting that you pick up the USA Today newspaper like I did today, and they use the word stewardship more and more with governmental issues. It's interesting that the church has abdicated on this word and allowed the world to take this word from us, so to speak. It's poor environmental stewardship now. You read the headline today, poor economic stewardship on behalf of the federal government, the USA Today newspaper is saying. And yet we could teach a lesson internally and capture that word back from the marketplace and remind people that a disciple's spiritual health is directly related to their spiritual practices. My wife and I wrote a book a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, called The Cycle of Victorious Giving. My story on that particular book occurred in college when I had encountered Alan, you may remember Earl Lee.
Sure.
And he wrote a book called The Cycle of Victorious Living. Came to a college chapel at Ohio Christian University and spoke. And I've been carrying these fears in my life for a long time because my father was killed in a tragic accident when I was 11 years old. Coal miner moved our family to Ohio in search of a better life, and 6 months later killed in an accident. So every day I got up with this fear that someone was going to be taken from me out of my family. And when Earl Lee spoke that day, I got in the cycle of victorious living. I gave my fears over to the Lord and committed to reading Psalm 34 day after day, and those fears were erased. They were subsided in my life. And so a few weeks later, a missionary comes. And, you know, I'm just a poor college student from the hills of West Virginia, and I was raised the poorest of the poor. Welch, West Virginia, my birthplace, is the poorest place in America today. It was where Lyndon Johnson declared war on poverty when he was president, and recently an article in the USA Today said it didn't work. It still remains the poorest of the poor, coal mining community. Now think, but I was taught the importance of giving, and yet I never captured it until this college chapel when the missionary spoke. And our college president, Dr. Melvin Maxwell, who is the father of then not so famous John C. Maxwell, he gets up, and he's the most dynamic person that I ever met outside of John Maxwell himself, I think, in terms of platform genius and everything. But he just says, I want you all to take a step toward God today. And some of you are going to come, and you're going to volunteer to be missionaries. And others are going to come, and you're going to give everything you have in terms of your finances. I had a $100 bill in my pocket. I never have a $100 bill. I don't have one today. But I had one that day because my parents had given it to me for my whole semester of spending. That was my spending money, and I went and I gave that to the missionary for Honduras, Central America. And I want to tell you, I didn't have that feeling that I had after I got in the cycle of victorious living. All of a sudden, I'm going, you know, actually the enemy of the soul is saying, you are stupid, Toler. You have given it all away. What are you going to do about it? And I'll never forget, 2 weeks later, after wrestling with that and dead broke, I went to the barber shop where I worked, and my boss was the stinkiest guy in the world, and I know there was no hope for me. It was on a Monday evening, and I worked that evening, and when I was finished, he called me over and he said, I need to talk to you a minute, and I thought, he's going to fire me. But instead, this man, who was known to be as tight as bark on a log, as my brother used to say, he said, told her you're doing a good job. And he said, I notice these college students come in, they don't tip you, you don't sell the shampoos and spritzers and all that. And he said, I just want to say thank you. And the stingiest man in the world reached in his pocket and pulled out a crisp $100 bill and handed it to me. And you can imagine, tears filled my eyes, and he asked me what was wrong with me, but that day I didn't tell him. But in that moment, I realized I had entered the cycle of victorious giving, that my life took another step, and I don't care whether you're poor or rich if you don't live in that cycle. And so you've heard Chuck Miller probably say, Alan, you give to get to give again. Well, that's giving living at its best. You give, you receive, and then you bless. And I think whether it's $1, which is what we tried to get some people to give back there in the last big recession that we experienced in Oklahoma, or maybe it's $10 in today's economy, or whatever the number is, if you give, what happens, because giving is rooted in the heart and nature of God, you open up the windows of heaven spiritually, in my opinion, and you start a mystical flow that cannot be explained. I'm not a health, wealth, and prosperity preacher, but I am a strong believer that God taught me that day as a college student that you cannot outgive God. And so what I try to do, Patty, is move it to every person to say, what can you give? And I remember a single parent with three children saying during those times to me, Pastor, I don't have any money. I don't have a job. What can I do? And I said, you know, talk to God and ask him. And I just finished stewardship month, and we'd had a real animated discussion about it, very positive, and she came in the next day and she said, I would like to give of my time since I have no money. I'd like to volunteer one day a week for the next year in the church office. And she came in, and that's how she gave. Interestingly enough, a job came her way, different things began to happen, her personal economy changed, and she became a wonderful tither. But she, out of her poverty, said, I'll give time.
So, Stan, you just demonstrated the power of story. We've got 2 or 3 minutes left. Can you give us some other bullet points of how we can effectively, without making people feel like, hey, you're just in my pocket, but really understand the big picture, and then strategically, what can we do? I mean, do we, have a series on this? You talk about, the five pockets. Give us some bullet points.
I would highly encourage a stewardship month emphasis, and, I usually do it in January, but I would do it in August or September. I've created incredible resources on that subject, and I'll make an offer to anyone listening today if they will email me at stantoler.com with their address and so forth. I will send them a free full-month emphasis on stewardship. It will have messages. It will have it's on a CD-ROM also. Has a DVD with it. It sells for $30, but I'm willing to invest in the churches that need help today. So anyone that wants it, it'll be my gift, no charge. And it has student lessons. It has for all age groups, for small groups, and so forth. But that would be an important start. I think also you have to put a face on a dollar when you ask people to give. And in tough times, people are going to be more menu-driven, and they're also going to expect some explanation. And it's 4 things real quick: education, motivation, invitation, and celebration is the way I raise money. You educate people to whatever that need is. You have to be honest. And my sin early as a pastor was I kept silent when financial times came and things were difficult. And I won't ever do that again. I'll let them know what the need is. Education. Secondly, what would motivate me to give? Value souls when you ask them to give. Give them a call. Show a video. Plan the offering time. Tell a story like I just did or whatever. Have someone give a stewardship testimony. Then invite them unashamedly to share and give. When they give, celebrate the generosity of your people. I always say thank you to people who are generous with God.
That's great. That's a wonderful outline. Well, thanks for your time, and thanks for that offer. If you go to stantoler.com, and just a little plug here for, you've got a new devotional for pastors coming out. I know there are those Monday mornings when you look at attendance and or offering, and you just say, oh, my goodness. And I think part of it is pastors is just keeping your own spirit refreshed. So give us just a 30-second plug on this new devotional book for pastors.
Yes, it's by Wesleyan Publishing House called Devotions for Pastors. It's the first of a pastor appreciation series, they call it. The next one's for pastoral couples. And it just has, you know, a one-word thought and a 60-second read for every day from a pastor's heart. Because, you see, for 40 years now, I've had those Monday morning feelings when the offerings weren't good and I wanted to drive by the church with my resignation all written out, put it in a brown paper bag with a rock, roll the window down, and just throw it through the stained glass window and keep on driving. So I've gotten over it by finding moments with God keeps the fires lit in my soul. And I challenge them to have a devotional life. That's the whole key to staying into the ministry and being passionate about ministry.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Dan. That's great.
My pleasure.
Hey, if you'd like to learn more about Rev Magazine, go to rev.org and discover the most practical church leader periodical. I'm Alan Nelson with my co-host, Patty Smith, wishing you God's best in your ministry.